Our first scripture today is from James chapter 1, verses 17 through 27. Every generous act of giving, with every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave birth to us by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved brothers and sisters. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For human anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourself of sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves, and on going away, immediately forget that they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Amen. Our lectionary reading for today is the Gospel of Mark. Making sure we're in the right place. We're reading Mark 7. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes had come from Jerusalem, gathered around him, they noticed that some of the disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands, thus observing the traditions of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash, and there are many other traditions they observe, the washing of cups, pots, bronze kettles, and beds. So the Pharisees and the scribes ask him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition.'" Then they said to him, He said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandments of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother. Whoever speaks evil of father or mother must surely die.' But you say that if anyone tells his mother or father, 'Whatever support you might have had from me is korban,' that is, an offering of God." "Then you no longer permit it doing anything for mother or father, thus nullifying the word of God through your tradition that you have handed on. And you do many things like this." Then he called to the crowd again and said, "Listen to me and understand. There is nothing outside the person that by going in can defile, and the things that come out are what defile." And when he left the crowd, he entered the house, and the disciples asked him about the parable. And he said, "So are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes in a person from outside cannot defile? And since it enters not the heart, but the stomach, goes out into the sewer. Thus he declared all foods clean." And he said, "It is what comes out of a person that defiles. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, debauchery, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Last week, I shared a story about Rob and my relationship with Rob. And if you weren't here, I'm going to share his story, or a little bit of it in a paragraph. I met Rob when he was in high school in Indiana, and he was already dealing with a drug addiction. that addiction came to include heroin, meth, and some illegal activities. His journey also led him away from Christianity and to the Satanic Temple, which apparently has nothing to do with Satan, but I haven't researched that yet. Rob and I are still good friends, connected by Facebook these days. And you know, I don't need Rob to believe in God to have a relationship with him. And he doesn't need me to cast God off to consider me his friend. We just accept each other as we are. And if you really want to hear his sermon, his story, you can listen to last week's sermon on the website. While we were here, he and friends were watching it from Indiana, and I understand they had a couple-hour conversation afterward. I would love to have been in that one. Maybe not, I don't know. We'll come back to Rob, but let's move on and talk about the gospel reading for today. Jesus has been taken to task by the Pharisees for not following the rules. Now, the last thing I'm going to do today is criticize the traditions of the Jewish people. That conversation between Jesus and the Pharisees was for them and the listeners of the time. I don't believe that anyone present that day or writing it down some years later had us in mind as the audience. That was a story about what happened then, and maybe it was even a story about how times were shifting. I don't know. Maybe the disciples didn't even have water available to them. And maybe Jesus was just saying, if you're following the traditions without heart, then traditions don't mean very much, if anything at all. In other words, Jesus is expanding the sacred and the gratitude. The ritual of the hand washing is about the preparation of the meal. It wasn't about hygiene. Soap was not involved in these. Even today, soap is not involved. It's just water. But it is making the meal sacred to the Jewish people. A tradition. Now, how many of us have seen Fiddler on the Roof? We get the song Tradition from that musical. Tevye and Golda are the parents to three daughters, poor souls. Three daughters, they're Jewish and they're poor. Three daughters in need of husbands who can care for them. So they call in a matchmaker. Another great song, which I won't sing. But none of the daughters will agree to be matched. Remember? Each one of them has chosen a different path. Their eldest daughter is supposed to marry the richest man in town, a portly gentleman in his 50s. But she's in love with a poor Jewish tailor. He's so poor that he can't even afford his own sewing machine. And eventually, Tevye agrees to the marriage. Daughter number two comes along, refusing to be matched. Tevye finally agrees to let her be married to a soldier, and off they go to Siberia. Daughter number three does the unthinkable. She falls for a soldier who is not Jewish, and Tevye cannot go there. He cannot allow his daughter to marry outside the faith, and when it ends, we're all in tears, watching as the village is, everything is being torn apart, and the son-in-law and the daughter are over here, and Tevye and Golda are here, and it ends, and they are apart. And we are left really with no hope that they'll ever find reconciliation. Traditions. Why do we keep traditions? Or maybe the bigger question is, what matters and what doesn't? And how do we decide what's important? Back to my friend Rob. I told you last week about the pastor of their church, not my church, the other church in town, the large Baptist church. They went to their pastor to tell him their son, his mom and stepfather, Rob's dealing with addiction and they need counsel, they need help. And he tells them to let him die in a gutter. Just let him die. I mean, they reached out to their pastor, and their pastor told them that they were spiritually inept, and they'd all be better off if they just let him die. I don't understand that theology. That will come of no surprise to anybody who's ever heard me preach before.
That is not my theology. And I suspect that pastor was thinking more about the theology of salvation than he was thinking about the theology of the heart. And I can see that pastor as a Pharisee saying to Rob's parents, "How dare you allow your son to be addicted to drugs? You should just let him die." To me, though, Jesus is sitting down with him saying, "Tell me your story. Tell me about your hurts, and let's talk about how we can walk through this together." See, Jesus remembers that this mother had been abused by Rob's father, and that Rob had been abused by, he had a drinking problem and all sorts of things, and you can't isolate it. It's not isolated. What his mom went through and what they are today, it's not isolated. But Jesus would sit down and say, "Tell me about it, and let's walk through this together. And let me remind you that you are a child of God. God loves you, and God loves Rob." You see, my understanding of Jesus tells me that I can count on love first. Traditions matter less than love. I found this story about communion. It's a great story. Communion in this church was always served by intinction. Now, most of you know intinction. You come forward, you break a piece of bread, you dip it in the cup, and you eat it, and you go back to your seat. Well, that's how they did it in this church. But in her tradition, people came front, and there was a rail, and you knelt, and you took the bread and the cup, and then you went back to your seat. But she was new in ministry, and believe me, I have done this, and every person I know in their first church has done something like this, so forgive us. She didn't ask why they did it that way. She just changed it. And let me share her story. And so on the first Sunday of Lent, we knelt for communion. Remember, these are kind people with a deep respect for the office of pastor. So almost without exception, they would accept the pastor's suggestions, even if they were dumb. I'll never forget that morning as the good people of St. Paul Lutheran Church did as their pastor asked. Winifred, the matriarch of the church, sat on the right-hand side near the back. She was a round-faced woman whose wrinkles had been etched from years of smiling. No, she was not young, and her knees were not what they used to be. And after most of the congregation came forward, Winifred stood and made her way down the aisle and knelt. I remember wincing as I watched her kneel, as I watched her struggle to get up. And then it hit me. This is why the people of St. Paul Lutheran Church do not kneel to receive the sacrament of communion. And they do not do it out of kindness necessarily. But if Winifred can't kneel, nobody kneels. In the next week, we quietly returned to standing when the bread and wine was shared. Can I tell you that in some churches, people would have been wanting that pastor's head on a platter? That would have been an issue. For some churches, tradition are extremely important, and they can be the cause of churches splitting or people leaving. So what traditions are so important that we don't spend time trying to figure out how to find that middle ground? You obviously don't feel that way about big screens and sanctuaries, which I was thrilled. Some churches went through that with praise music. No praise music. Had to be hymns, had to come out of the hymnal. I have heard churches battle over changing the worship time. Half hour, hour, we're going to change it. No, we're not. We've always done it this way. Churches I've served have fought and battled over changing the ways you govern. And Penfield has gone through this too, where you used to need 70 people in all the councils and all the committees and everything, and then you find out that's really not working for us anymore. So how can we downsize? How can we streamline things to be efficient and still include everybody? Baptism by immersion. My home church will only let you be a member of the church if you have been immersed. So if you grew up Episcopalian or Methodist, in order to be a member, you would have to be baptized by immersion. You know, divorce, homosexuality, gay marriage, budgets, maintenance over mission. I'm telling a story on myself here. Once upon a time, I interviewed with a church, name should be nameless. I really wasn't interested. Ken and I had just gotten married, so I wasn't ready to move into anything. But I went through the interview, and they asked me a question that I have been asked by every church I've ever interviewed with. How will you bring in young families? Every church interview. So I've had some experience at this one, and I didn't really plan this, but out of my head came, well, out of my mouth, let's forget the head. Out of my mouth came, first, I have a question. Why do you want them? And they were a bit surprised by that. And, well, they said, we want our church to grow. We need young families to be here for the future. Now, I can appreciate an honest answer, right? So I responded, God forgive me, I really said this. Forgive me for being so blunt, but that is a really crappy reason for wanting them. I went on to say, if you had said, young families need our help. Young families have so much on their plate, we want to walk with them. And I'd have said, I'm with you. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about how to be supportive. But you didn't say that. You said you want them to make sure you stay open. And I said, friends, young families don't have money to contribute. They're not going to keep the church doors open with their money. They don't have time to serve on boards. You need my generation for that. And there really are churches being planted just for senior citizens. And I went on to say, young families need churches that welcome them just as they are, just as they are, and for what they bring. It will not shock you to learn that a week later I got an email telling me I was not their chosen candidate to move forward. I don't know if the church is alive or well, but last time, I have preached there since. They let me back in the door. But I have actually preached there before people. Doesn't bother me to preach before people, but that's what was there. What matters and what doesn't? Maybe it's easy to figure that out, what is important and what isn't. But it's not so easy to figure out how to live with those decisions or consequences. I mean, we live in some interesting times, don't we? We have differences of opinions on so many levels, and it's hard to remain in relationships. We have the ritual use of language, patriotism, allegiance, loyalty, and we use those as a litmus test on whether we'll be in relationship with someone or not. Is it our way of washing hands? Social media has allowed us to stay connected and has allowed us to say things we wouldn't say to each other's face, I hope. So instead of stating our opinion, too often, personal attacks are made on somebody's character just because of an opinion. We can't disagree, so let's attack each other. Jesus and the Pharisees? The Pharisees would say to Jesus, his followers are not following tradition. And Jesus might say, true, but when those traditions become more important than the Spirit, something else is lost. Hymn writer Caroline Winfrey Gillette wrote a hymn lifting up Jesus' teachings of the traditions and our need to focus on what's inside rather than outward appearances. So let's end with just a few verses of her hymn. Forgive us, Lord Jesus, for caring too much, for rules and traditions and standards and such. For while they are useful and good in their place, in keeping them we sometimes overlook grace. Our worship is proper, yet some feel left out. We celebrate faith and pass by those who doubt. We pray at our table and yet sometimes ignore the hungry, the homeless, the outcast, and poor. O Lord, may appearances match what's inside. Take all of our hypocrisy, hatred, and pride. Lord, fill us with good things from heaven above, till old ways and new ways are bursting with love. Amen.